You're listening to a podcast from the Institute for Research on Poverty at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. For this, our June 2013 podcast, I spoke with Daniel Miller of Boston University about how changes to family structure and father involvement relate to food insecurity for kids. In this context, food insecurity means having limited or uncertain ability to acquire food that is safe and nutritionally adequate. For Miller, this work is part of a larger project with Stephen Graske and Lena Nepomniachtchi on non-resident father involvement and food insecurity. Miller says that the number of kids living in food insecure households is persistently high, and this is despite big increases in spending on the SNAP program, which was formerly known as food stamps, in response to the Great Recession. But Professor Miller says it's hard to know what the food insecurity rate would have looked like without the expansion of these programs.
It's not clear whether absent that spending, whether food insecurity would have gone up, but it's been persistent, and despite the attempts of a lot of nutrition programs. And so along with that, we see, you know, this is something that's been widely documented, that there are an increase in the prevalence of so-called non-traditional family forms. And that's really anything where kids aren't living with two biological parents.
According to the Census Bureau's 2012 data, one quarter of U.S. children currently live with just one parent. And other research shows that over 40% of U.S. births are now to unmarried parents. So understanding this connection of family type and family change to food insecurity status is very relevant.
We find a number of different things, which are not maybe perhaps so surprising. The first is that food insecurity seems to be the highest in single mother families. So if you're just looking at family structure, so kids living in different family types, it's highest in single mother families, and that's compared to kids and living with both their biological parents, mom and dad, who are married, and compared to also mothers who have repartnered with a different new social father, as well as comparing them to kids who are living with cohabiting mothers who are either cohabiting with their biological father or with another father.
Okay, so generally, kids in two-parent homes should be better off than in one-parent homes in terms of their food security. Miller says the next step they took was to build on this and look at changes between family types for kids over the course of their middle childhood.
It's a little bit more complicated story, and in there, it's actually interesting that the result about single parenthood stands up to that analysis also. So if we're looking over time at the way that people change, the kids who are in single mother homes still tend to fare the worst. And we see some benefits to entering into marriage as well as to transitions of other sort, which is sort of what you might expect.
Looking at these other sorts of transitions, you might see that a social or non-biological father in a household might be less invested in kids that aren't his. Professor Miller says these sorts of questions about the relationship between family change and child food insecurity haven't really been examined before, and only a few studies have looked at family structure and food insecurity.
There's another paper that's looked at family structure changes and just food insecurity generally, but nobody's bothered to look at kids. And there's some sense that parents tend to protect kids from food insecurity, and so it's not clear whether the kind of disruption that attends to family structure changes would trickle down to kids' food insecurity.
The results we've heard so far might lead us to think that food insecurity is tied solely to a lack of income in the household. However, Miller and his colleagues have found that their findings hold up independent of family socioeconomic status. So what is really going on, and why might family structure matter?
Food insecurity is distinguished from hunger in the sense that it's about economic deprivation. So at its heart, it's really about a lack of resources. Are families able to marshal the resources to put quality and consistent food on the table? That said, we find that this holds up independent of family socioeconomic status and independent of whether families are in poverty or not. So it's clearly more than just an income story. There's this literature on food insecurity that suggests that people make choices based on the consistency of income. And so this is actually where this idea about father involvement comes into play. If, in particular, in the case of a single mother household, she's making decisions about the food that gets put on the table based on other things that are external to her. And one of those is the way that a father is involved. What kind of support is he providing to the household? And so while we haven't tested that in this paper, it seems like a clear candidate for the idea that their single mother families are still at risk above and beyond simple economics because they're not able to make good choices about the kind of food that they could put on the household because it might be inconsistent support from the dad that's throwing them off. That's just a hypothesis, and I think we'll look to test that moving forward.
But even if it's the case that inconsistent support from the dad is throwing some mothers off in being able to make consistent food provision choices, there are still many single mother households where consistent support from the fathers can be counted on. Miller says that they see in-kind support playing an important role here.
It's so-called in-kind support that seems to be instrumental to food insecurity. And so in-kind support is support that dads provide that's not cash support and it's not about social contact with the kids. It's the type of stuff where dads are paying for bills or their help. Helping out on buying things that the kids need. So that it's provision of like goods and services more than it is actual cash. And that seems, when dads are involved in that way, that seems to lower risk for child food insecurity.
Miller says that in terms of the larger body of research on the ways that family structure impacts child outcomes, parenting quality and family stress are a couple of the major points of consideration that they are looking at and trying to figure out how family change interacts with food insecurity.
There's another literature that looks at food insecurity and maternal depression. And there's evidence that it sort of operates in both ways. Obviously, being food insecure is a very challenging thing for any family. And so there seems to be some evidence that prompts depression on the part of moms, but also that it operates the other way, that depression operates on food insecurity, increases food insecurity for moms. So and we know that depression is a correlate of single motherhood also. So there's certainly something very complicated going on here, and I think it's deserving of a little bit more nuanced investigation, which is kind of like the next thing that we're looking to.
Another aspect of this complexity comes down to measurement issues. When you're looking at family change, there's a lot of variation in the ways that families are formed and with the biological ties within a household and how those might be related to food insecurity.
So let me say this. When we're thinking about child food insecurity and when their fathers are involved, we're presuming that their involvement is relative to the food insecurity as it pertains to their child. But in reality, the measure that we're often using is a household measure of child food insecurity. And so in homes where there are kids that may not be biological related or might be half siblings, it's not clear that the child that we quote unquote care about is as in the sense that he or she is related to a non-resident bio dad is the one whom we're indexing when we're thinking about child food insecurity.
Miller says that food insecurity is a real problem for children. However, it has not received quite the amount of attention as other issues, and a lot of questions about it remain.
There's just a lot that we don't know about it, and for kids in particular. And so there are a lot of people who, and a lot of households, a lot of families, a lot of children who suffer from food insecurity, and we don't have a clear sense of why. So research that's drawing more attention to that, that's trying to figure out these determinants, I think is probably pretty important. And without overemphasizing the importance of our own study, it seems like differences in families and family structure is probably a natural way to think about it, especially since we're clear in the literature that it's not simply an income story, that there's something more complicated going on. And so these dynamics of family change are probably something that could be an important way for policymakers and programmers to think about reducing the incidence of food insecurity, especially in kids.
Miller says that as they move forward with this work, they want to look at what sort of other mechanisms, in addition to family structure, are contributing to child food insecurity. They also want to learn more about how specific family changes contribute to changes in food security levels, and to break down their data by race and ethnicity and income to see if they can pick up on differences there. Thanks to Daniel Miller for sharing this work with us. You've been listening to a podcast from the Institute for Research on Poverty.